This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, real quick, I want to give a shout out to Paisanos, our friend James over at Paisanos, especially the ones in Silver Spring, Bethesda, and Rockville.
Yep.
They have provided some food for us.
James just opened a new spot.
Yeah, I believe that's the one in Bethesda. I think.
No, I thought it was Silver Spring.
It might be Silver Spring. But anyway, they've been always been great to us. They provided food again for a banquet that we did this weekend. So thank you to James. You know, we each have, like, you know, you go in there and there's, you know, you use a certain secret code or whatever, and you got some money there. You know that, right?
I know. I've been told that, and I've used the gift cards that I've had in the past, but I feel sheepish, like, asking for the whole
I know,
job.
It's, like, it's embarrassing.
Because I think I give them my cell number. I think they have it registered. But yeah. It's not like I then say, well, there should be some money on that in that account.
It is embarrassing.
It's a little bit embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. But it's great food.
Very good.
Love the pizza. We had the, the fettuccine with the mushrooms and the chicken. That's amazing. The ziti, the lasagna, all that stuff. So Paisanos, everybody, check them out.
Total coincidence, on Saturday night, we went over to... This is why I missed the beginning of the Caps game.
Yeah.
I was at another person's house.
Okay, well, you should have told said person, I have to leave by 7 o'clock, so I'm home for 7:15 puck drop.
Okay. Well, I got back. Again, I missed, I think, 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, it wasn't, you know, I wasn't that demanding of leaving their home. But they actually had, believe it or not, Paisanos pizza there.
Look at that.
Of course. It's great stuff.
Thin crust.
Very nice.
It was thin crust, which was really good.
We did something for the lacrosse team, and the kids just devoured the pizza.
Of course.
They crush it.
Of course.
Yeah, it goes fast.
So I wanted to kind of switch gears as to what was the biggest event, at least by ratings, over the weekend. I know the biggest event for us was watching the Caps game. But the royal wedding was apparently a smash.
Oh.
I didn't watch a second of it. I'll be honest with you.
Nor did I.
I probably watched 20 minutes of it.
I saw some of the recap after. Mm-hmm. This was on at 7 a.m.
I know, I happened to be up.
And I was up.
I'm sure I'm going to wake up at 7 a.m. on a weekend. One of the few days I actually get to sleep in to see a bunch of rich dogs parading down the street in London.
I know people had parties for it. People had parties at 7 a.m., like neighborhood parties.
Losers.
Well, 29 million people watched it on the 6 major networks in America.
No, here's a number that's going to blow you away because you didn't watch it. So we all, because we're old, we remember Lady Di's wedding, right? And the stat was, I think, 750 million people around the world watched Lady Di's wedding.
Right.
And I was like, wow, that's crazy. And then there were some other donks that you don't even follow, like Sarah, whoever she is, and Andrew.
The Duchess.
And they all went down. It was like 500 million people watch Sarah, 250 million people watch whatever the donk. And even William, he might have gotten like 300 million.
But you mean CK?
This
guy that looks like a program director?
Yeah. This one, I think they said 2.5 billion people.
Yeah. That's a big number.
It's absurd.
That's a huge number.
I will say,
that's a third of the Earth's population,
2.5 billion people.
My wife was into it. Now, she didn't really watch the wedding, but she was so into it that she wanted to watch an episode of Suits. I watched my first episode of Suits with Meghan Markle. It's actually not a bad show.
Okay, if you say so.
It's kind of like, did you ever watch The Practice back in the day?
Never.
I know Jason was big into The Practice. It's a legal show.
Yeah.
It's good.
I don't know from Meghan Markle. I don't know how they got so excited about this thing. She's a pretty girl. I get it. I think she's...
I didn't realize she had a kid.
Yeah.
I think I knew that.
And she was married before.
Divorced. I knew she was divorced. Yeah. And the first husband or whatever is bitter.
He definitely got one-upped.
I mean, she upgraded.
Can you imagine being that first
dog? I'm not sure. I heard it was mutual. But
I thought he dumped her.
But I think he was bitter about how it all went down.
He's probably like, good luck doing better than me. Good luck. Good luck with that. She marries a prince.
How do you win that custody case? If that's his kid, right?
You can't.
Like, boy, stay with me at my regular house, or right. Stay at the palace.
Yeah, stay at Buckingham Palace.
I just find the whole sort of thing just incredible. Like, all I do when I see them and I go, I guess people want to be a prince or princess, and maybe it sounds good on
paper.
That's
exactly what it is.
But I look at it and I go, that's the worst life ever. All you got to do, you got to just be a public figure your whole life. You got to do ribbon cuttings and kiss babies, and you go to, you got to go. Remember when Lady Diana would go to places where they had all the bombs and stuff?
Yeah, like minefields.
Minefields.
Now, wait
and
a second.
Is she kidding? You have refugees. Their limbs blown off.
You know, it's
the worst life ever.
But
it's a ceremonial life of hell.
It's not fun visiting, I wouldn't know because I've never gone, I'm just assuming, refugee camps.
Yeah.
You want to go to a
it
refugee
is a,
camp?
Who would aspire to that? To me, it's mind-boggling.
There are trade-offs, Rick. You think she's ever going to have to scrub a toilet again or anything
who
like
cares?
That?
Who cares?
Won't lift a finger for the rest of her life.
Well, I wouldn't want to do anything she does, except when she gets to relax.
I'm going to guess she's going to continue to act.
No, she's not allowed to.
Yeah.
She's not allowed
she's not
to?
Allowed she's not allowed to. Who wants that life? You're not allowed to.
JP thinks he knows all about the royal family.
I just told you to watch it.
The only reason people want to act is to be famous. She's the most famous chick on the planet right now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I understand, but she also might like it.
Doesn't matter. Nobody because when you're in the royal family, you don't get a choice.
She gets to act like a duchess.
The right. royal family, they're not even allowed to show emotion. They just sit there like these emotionless robots.
But Donk was in Afghanistan. So he was like allowed to serve in the military.
Right. That was a required thing. I think it was a required thing. They had to have
some
military service.
I don't think he was required
service.
To be in action and things like that.
Not necessarily. Now, but that was a long time ago. But yeah, I think they were required to have some sort of military service. Listen, there's no free will. That's a horrible life. I don't know what she's signing up for.
Yeah, but again,
it's pretty horrible when they're rolling down the street in that Rolls Royce. Yeah. That's $500,000.
Right.
Okay, that's for 20 minutes.
Various estates like all around the world.
It's like a bad play.
Did they have two church ceremonies?
I don't know.
It was never ending. It was never ending. It was long. The pastor, God bless him, was making it all about him.
He definitely was.
Oh, my God. That thing was over the top.
You logged a lot of time with it.
It was. I was
up. 20 minutes.
Maybe it was. I was up.
Well, what I couldn't believe is that the castle they had it in, or the church, St. George's Church, you had the people in the front, right, where the mom was sitting, and William and all the big sillies, the queen.
Thanks for being on, George.
They had great seats, but then there was like this divide where all the celebrities were sitting and their friends. They were watching TVs. They couldn't even see them on the altar.
I do find it weird that his old girlfriends, his old creepers were there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was the last people I'd invite.
The queen liked his old creepers.
I find it weird that
it's unbelievable
that the celebrities there. Like, what are they? What kind of relationship did
but
they
I
have
learned
with
a lot.
Harry?
Listen,
what does George Clooney have?
I don't know, but he was dreamy.
I learned a lot when I saw that. First of all, I don't like his wife,
Amal.
Yeah, and I
why.
First, she's a big bird. I don't get sized. I don't get sized for 8-footers. It's way too tall. Okay. And then when I saw the way she was walking, I was like, "Oh my God, you
watched
married
a lot."
No, dude, you don't understand. It was on the news all day. You couldn't put a channel.
Like I said, I saw the highlights.
So I watched about 20 minutes of it live, and then they had coverage. Like every anchor was over there with a fancy hat on.
A fascinator.
And they were talking about it all day. What day was it? Saturday? It was on TV all day on Saturday. But I watched Clooney's wife, and I never understood why he got married, because he could tag any chick in the world, and then he married this big bird. And then and then this is what she was doing. They were walking into the thing, and she was walking like this.
She had a weird skipping.
She was all excited.
Terrible.
Evie really is breaking down the wedding.
No.
Did you watch her walk?
Yes. No. They said that she was walking like that because she had really high heels on, and then the old cobblestone.
No, she was just loving all this attention, and
she was cashing in her ADs.
Oh,
I think I slept
God.
Until 9:30 on Saturday. So
nice.
Thankfully, I slept through
she was the
every
worst.
Second.
Hey, you know what was so silly? Is that so when George Clooney and David Beckham and Oprah are all walking towards the church to go to the wedding, they have to show their invitation to the old dude that's sitting there blocking the door.
I like that.
Can you imagine being Oprah and you forgot your invitation and
well,
you're Oprah?
They said Oprah couldn't find her seat. Can you imagine her in a big ass trying to walk around there trying to find her seat?
That's embarrassing.
And then it's like when you're on the plane and you draw the short straw and you got the Bighams that sit next to you. You don't want Oprah to sit next to you.
God, that's a destination wedding that I would certainly turn down. I'd see the invite say, we have to go to London? That's finished.
Now, what did you get to see? Since Drab and Valdez watched more than 20 minutes, what happened? So there's a church ceremony. What else did
best
they show?
Well, the best part... First of all, everyone was just joning on it on Twitter, being too cool for school. I thought it was neat. I thought it was pretty cool. It's once in every 10 years we see one of these things. And I like the giant parade through the town.
Because there's a parade.
You know what? Drab kind of likes the Royals.
I guess
I don't get understand the fascination. They're a bunch of weirdos.
They're good allies of ours. I get sites for allies.
Fans of the monarchy.
Okay, yeah. The country is.
Yeah, so they're
the
good
Royals
to us.
Have nothing to do with that.
Well, they're big sillies.
They're just the...
Just remember...
Yeah, I get sites for the crown.
Why don't you jock their prime minister then?
Just remember that we're always superior to them. Okay, just remember, on the pecking order...
I don't look at that like that anymore.
Because we beat their ass back in the day and gained our independence. Just remember that.
I just think it's just an awful life.
Hey, what'd you think of the big driveway? Heading into the church.
I got sized for that long driveway. It was like 2 miles
It's a 2 mile driveway.
Yeah. I guess I wasn't paying attention to that detail.
You think she's going to have to shovel it?
Yeah. You think Harry's out there with a snow blower?
I think she's going to have to go. She's going to have to go to 6 million things that I would never want to do. Not a single one of them.
Right,
there's not one thing.
Probably
the only thing I would want to do is when she gets to go on vacation. And she probably has plenty of vacation time. But when she's not on vacation, she's going to have to go see every kid with cancer in the world.
She's going to have to
see every person have their limbs blown off in some horrible war.
She's going to have to hold like a warty hand.
Yeah, she's going to be some guy looks like the elephant man or something. She's going to have to kiss him.
Yeah, are lepers fun to hang out with?
Yeah, I mean, that life sucks.
As he said, trade-off. Would you rather her deal with her pathetic dad? Like, if he seemed like that loser, wasn't he trying to, like, sell?
He tried to set up he was trying to cash in on his daughter's
family. He's trying to set up pictures with paparazzi.
I don't blame him.
She won't have to go to any of their nubs Christmases anymore.
I would much rather have my life than their life. And my life is very average. I'm telling you, that life, I don't like to do anything.
If Prince Harry woke up with your life, he'd blow his brains out.
Yes, he would.
I'm sure he would. He's used to it. I could not get used to that lifestyle.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Three-man shows. I'm JP, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville and Eric Bickle. And joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline to give us a little more insight into this Capitals Lightning Series, Game 6 tonight, is Greg Wyshynski, senior NHL writer at ESPN. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, boys.
So, Greg, I don't know if you can put your finger on it. What turned after Game 2 that has totally changed this series?
Yeah, give us some answers. We need them here.
I mean, a week ago, we were riding high. We were starting to talk about possibly booking trips to Winnipeg or Vegas.
Yep. That talk is quieted, by the way, a lot.
Come on. You know it's those guys that had Nick Backstrom sign their broom. I think we all know that to be the case. They tried to burn the broom. It didn't matter.
Right.
The hockey gods were already angered. No, I think it had everything to do with John Cooper flipping around his lines and identifying what it was that was going on systematically that it was allowing the Capitals to get so many chances off the rush. And you know, they still are. I mean, it's not as if the Caps have been completely locked down in these last three games. They're still getting their offensive chances, and their odd man rushes just not as plentiful and maybe not as dangerous as in the first few games. But his decision to move Palat up to the top line and move his pieces around the chessboard a little bit kind of reinvigorated the lineup, set everything where it needed to be, and he's just been getting great performances, for the last few games. In particular, from that fourth line, that Ryan Callahan line that played so well in Game 5.
Do other series swing like this, or is it just the Caps? You know, in round one, you know what I mean? Like, just the complete, total psychological change with one game. I don't know. Do the other series, they go this way typically, or what?
I mean, not in this playoffs, you know, courtesy of Vegas just being a buzzsaw through teams. But, you know, it's not outlandish that a team wins the first, loses the next two, and then you get a best of three. It's just that it's not usually, you know, this dramatic a swing where a team wins two on the road like this and loses two at home. And if you're asking me, like, why are we in this pickle right now? It's because, you know, they had a chance to put the dagger in them in games three and four and didn't. I mean, that's the bottom line. And I remember asking Jay Beagle after game three, you know, are you a little reluctant here because you didn't put the dagger in them in game three? And he's like, nah, you know, no one thought we were going to sweep this team. And then lo and behold, they don't do it in game four. And now you've squandered everything you've done earlier in the series. So, you know, if the Caps do end up losing this series, I think the opportunity that was blown here to get a win on home ice in three or four and really, really put the Lightning back on their heels is going to be what undid them.
Well, in fairness to them, I thought in game four they clearly had the better of the play. Just a couple stupid penalties did them in, and that's their own fault. So it wasn't like they laid down. But there were periods here where they have looked so nonchalant. And it's just almost like they're adopting the Wizards attitude, or we're almost too cool for school here. I just didn't see that sense of urgency consistently for 60 minutes of each game. That's what kills me. Now, I'm an unsophisticated fan, but that's what I see.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's inexplicable that their first period could be as bad as it was in Game 5. I mean, Barry Trotz was left wondering if the Caps knew what time the game started
right
after the game to kind of try to figure it out. But again, like, but what you said is the key takeaway heading into game six, which is that if you look at stretches of game four, if you look at the last two periods of game five, you know, you are talking about a team that has shown it can exert its will on this series and carry the play. And so what you're hoping, you know, as we reach game six is that you get that same sort of effort. Maybe it's a bit more consistent. And that maybe you don't have a situation where Andrei Vasilevskiy is stopping everything thrown at him like the last time they played at home.
Greg, is shots on goal one of the most overrated stats in all of hockey? The Caps have outshot the Lightning 175-121 through five games, yet they trail 3-2.
I'll go plus minus or sometimes face off winning percentage, probably for most overrated stats, but it's up there. No, I think it comes down to shot quality, right? And as the series has gone on, the high danger chances for the Capitals have certainly been on the decline in some games. And I think that's the real issue there, is that you can pump as much rubber as you want on Andrei Vasilevskiy, but if the chances aren't of a high quality, that's another story. And then again, the other thing too is that, you know, you can generate a lot of shots on goal when you're on the power play, which of course the Capitals didn't spend much time on in the previous game. So it's a situation where the offense that we saw in the first two games just isn't there for a number of reasons.
Joined by Greg Wyshynski, senior NHL writer at ESPN, talking about game six tonight. What have you seen from Nicklas Backstrom? He hasn't seemed to have done much since he returned to the lineup.
Yeah, it's not been too impactful. I thought, you know, as he's played more, he's gotten a bit sharper, but the results aren't there. I mean, when you saw him in the first period of game four, you're saying to yourself, uh-oh, you know, why did they bring him back? But ineffective, I think, would be the word. But, you know, there's a number of guys in that situation. I mean, it's not just Backstrom. It's obviously Burkowski, who takes a seat because of his ineffectiveness. And a few guys through that lineup that have sort of been on the wane. But, you know, it's just an unfortunate series of events. The fact that he was injured, the fact that it is, you know, a hand injury. But like the Capitals kept on saying, I mean, when Backstrom said he was good to go, he's good to go. So he believed he was ready to come back and make an impact and hasn't quite yet.
Greg, I understand the refs swallowing their whistles the later we get into these series, but a huge no-call on the Orlov trip by Stamkos that put the Caps in a 2-0 hole in Game 5. I don't know if it would have completely changed the outcome of the game, but that was a huge no call. How do they swallow their whistle on that play?
Well, because they're incompetent. I mean, like anyone who's watched the playoffs can tell you that they're incompetent. It's the officiating in this postseason has been atrocious. It's been absolutely atrocious. It's you know, I don't know what the NHL can do about it. I don't know who answers for it. But the selectivity of these calls has been bad. the blown nature of the calls have been bad. The calls have got outright wrong have been bad. I mean, like that Oshie high stick from earlier in the playoffs. I mean, every series has had a few moments that fans are just kind of throwing their arms up in the air and saying, what are these guys seeing? And it's a really bad look for the NHL, and the Stamkos trip was just a part of that overall milieu of horrible officiating.
Just want to get into the what-if game for a second with you, Greg. If the Caps lose tonight, what happens with Coach Trotz?
He's gone, I think. You know, one of the churning rumors in hockey world has been that Trotz would leave Washington to reunite with a guy named Paul Fenton, who was the assistant GM with the Nashville Predators, who, according to multiple reports last night, is going to become the new general manager of the Minnesota Wild. So Fenton and Trotz were together in Nashville. The owner over in Minnesota used to own the Predators when both Fenton and Trotz were there. It's a whole big sloppy kiss reunion. Now, they do have a coach named Bruce Boudreau currently, who probably does not like any of this news in Minnesota. But that's been the rumor for the last few months, is that Trotz would leave the Capitals, obviously doesn't have a contract next year, reunite with Paul Fenton in Minnesota, and kind of go from there. So that's the scuttlebutt. But as far as Trotz goes, I mean, who knows? I mean, it is tantalizing to think that you stay here and see this thing through. But at the same time, you know, coaches have a finite shelf life, and he's been here for a few years.
Greg, is it good or bad for the NHL that the Vegas Golden Knights, an expansion team, make the Stanley Cup final? Where do you stand on that?
It makes me mental that anybody would think it's bad. Like, here's our sport that not a lot of people talk about, or as a hockey fan, not a lot of non-hockey fans talk to you about it. And now this thing happens where everybody's going to love it and pay attention to it. And, like, the person in your office who literally never talks to you about hockey because they don't know anything about hockey is going to come up to you and be like, yo, man, this Vegas thing, right? Like, how great is that? I don't understand how it could be bad for hockey. I know that there are some people who don't like the fact that the expansion draft was sort of made so friendly towards the Golden Knights. And I used to kind of feel the same way until I talked to this dude who used to be the communications director for the Atlanta Thrashers, RIP, and I was expecting him to say, yeah, if we had that draft, we'd still be around. But instead he said, you know what? It's not so much them fixing the draft for Vegas. It's them fixing the draft. Like, the idea that an expansion team should be abjectly horrible out of the gate is kind of something we've been trained to think, but it probably isn't the way things should go. Like, you should want them to be good straight away to build a fan base and to make an impact locally. Now, no one thought they'd play for a cup, right? But the fact that they're doing this in their first year is in no way an embarrassment for the league. It's an embarrassment for the GMs that made horrible decisions to help them build this team, but not for the league.
All right, so Greg, let's get a prediction for tonight and in the series.
Oh, Jesus, come on. I mean, first of all, it's the Caps, so it could go, you know, if it's the Caps, so you feel as comfortable saying they're going to lose game six and become like the first team in history to win two on the road and then blow the series. But then you're also like, this is the Caps, so obviously if they're going to lose, it's going to be in a game seven. I'll say the Caps win. Why not? I mean, I think that they've played well enough in the last two games to give you some indication that they have one more win in them.
But that's
and it's
it?
Very hard to close out a team.
Well, only, two more you wins. Only see one
just
more
one?
Left?
Oh, let's not get greedy, boys, for God's sakes. I mean, yeah. Let's just get back to Tampa before. And again, as much as I want to believe it's a different vibe and resiliency and we beat the Penguins and all that, it's still a game seven. Mm-hmm. And we all know about game sevens.
Yeah, I kind of like it that it's on the road, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's one benefit is that they can't win them on home ice. So you'd like to have it on the road. You'd rather have it on Mars than in Cap 1 Arena. And there's no oxygen on Mars. Yeah. So, on the road is a little bit better, but it's still a game seven. It's still the Caps.
All right,
yeah.
Greg, appreciate the insight as always. Greg Wyshynski.
Thank you, buddy.
You can check out his Thanks, work boys. At ESPN.com.
Yep. Well,
so he's got one more. They've got one more in him.
Little tidbit in the world of sports had me actually saying to myself something I thought I would never say.
Yep.
I kind of want to watch a CFL game.
Oh, it's
Johnny Manziel.
I've never said that, and will never say that.
I know Pete Medhurst is a big CFL fan. I'm intrigued by the Manziel story. I like to root for guys that have that are underdogs. He essentially is an underdog now.
Pete Medhurst,
the comeback story would be great.
I think he's the only guy in America that has an Edmonton Eskimos hoodie.
Yes.
He wears it around here at 106.7 The Fan when it gets a little bit chilly.
Now, Johnny Manziel apparently signed a two-year deal. And from what I understand, there's no outs. Like, if he balls out in the NFL, I mean, if he balls out in the CFL, I don't think he can get out of the contract for 2 years.
I don't think it's a big issue. There was
probably
nobody,
not.
There was nobody calling.
Think that, yeah, you
think
demand.
The NFL's been rushing to sign him?
I think he did the smart thing, though. I like it. The one thing I didn't, one thing I had a problem with, and I think it's great. I like redemption stories. I root for Johnny. But your boy Colin Cowherd, was like clubbing Tebow and said, "Oh, I'm so so much respect for Manziel playing the CFL. This is what Tebow should have done." You know, Tebow's playing minor league baseball. You know, he said something to the effect of like, "It shows that he really wants it." Tebow's playing. There's nothing more sort of humiliating and like putting yourself out there than playing minor league baseball, riding buses.
True, but
so
I think,
don't give me that.
I think what he's speaking towards is Tebow's stubbornness, that if his dream was to be in the NFL, he was so stubborn that he wouldn't try other things. Like, I thought Tim Tebow would have been great if he tried another position. He just wouldn't
do it. But he didn't want to do
it. But
it wasn't like he was above it. He didn't want to play another position. He wanted to play quarterback, and if he didn't want him, he was going to go try something else.
Colin Cowherd is a jackass.
He's playing minor league.
Why you would take him seriously?
I don't. But, I mean, sometimes he has good opinions, but that one I thought was like out of left field. I'm like, dude, he's playing minor league baseball. He's riding around in obscurity. Every once in a while, they'll write something horrible about him, you know, when he strikes out four times in a game or something. And if he happens to hit a bomb on, like, you know, opening day, he'll get a little run. But generally speaking, he's playing minor league baseball in obscurity. How could you be critical of
that? Well, I think
he's
just talking in specifically about his NFL dream. That if he was chasing the NFL, he wouldn't be messing with baseball. If he was chasing the NFL, he maybe would have taken other steps, like try other positions or play in the CFL.
Well, he showed he read, that's not what he wanted
to do. He just wanted to be a quarterback, and the league eventually said, not interested in you as a quarterback.
And that's fair on both sides.
Right.
So why, I mean, you know, it's fair. He didn't want to play another position.
But I am pulling for Johnny Manziel for whatever reason. Like, it's not I mean, maybe it is. Pete can jump in and correct this from wrong. I've never seen the CFL really be available to watch it on a regular
ESPN
basis.
I think it's on ESPN 2 or something.
Maybe. I don't know.
I feel like
ESPN,
it is.
The Ocho. I don't know.
Right.
I feel like some of those games are. Maybe it's just the playoffs.
No,
they're on all the time.
Yeah.
ESPN 2 carries at least the Friday night game more often than not. The good thing for Manziel, he's going to a team that has just been rotten, rotten, rotten. The bad thing is they're being coached by June Jones, who's almost 70 years old. So,
And he has to battle for a starting position, right? I saw
Zach Collaros has been their quarterback the last couple of years, and he hasn't been great. The team's been terrible, so he's got a great chance. Not to mention, I think you know, even in a place like Hamilton, a bit of obscurity, it's probably going to draw a few more people out just to see if he can come play, which is good for their pockets up there.
He's a Hamilton Tiger Cat?
Hamilton Tiger Cat in the Eastern Conference, which has been so bad. Teams, in fact, 2 years ago, the Ottawa Red Blacks finished below 500 in the regular season and eventually did win.
Pedro knows more about the CFL than anybody else in the United States. It's not even close.
I don't know about that. I'm sure there are other great fans out there.
Not that many. I mean, it's a CFL.
But JP's right. Johnny Manziel brings interest, at least, you know, to the casual observer. And I was certainly, if I knew Johnny was on, I'd watch. Now, you have to tell me, because I don't know how else I would know.
I think he's got a shot if he stays clean, and I don't know if that will continue. I was a little worried about that.
I usually bet against
drug
addicts.
That little hospital visit that he had, they put it on prescriptions, like a bad prescription. I don't 100% trust that.
I bet against drug addicts and alcoholics.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible to get over that. So, but I have a root for him. 100% I root for him.
I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah.
When do they even play the CFL, Pete?
Did you mind like Pete's brain again?
Is it summer?
Of year?
Is it fall?
Training camps are getting ready to commence north of the border, and the season should start, I believe, in June.
Okay.
Take
summer months.
Hey, JP, and Google is your friend, pal.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, but you're like Google for us.
Yeah. JP didn't even know when the Caps game started on Saturday night. You think he knows about the CFL?
Neither did the Caps.
First game starts June the 14th, and the Tiger Cats first game will be, oh boy, Johnny, tough debut. June 16th against the always very tough Calgary Stampeders.
Well, who would know?
Stampeders are probably going to be a 20-point favorite in that game and win by
two. Who are the studs on the Stampede? Can you name two?
Levi Mitchell is a guy that I actually called a game. His first ever college game at SMU was at Navy in a monsoon where we beat him 42-0. Ricky Dobbs ran 42 times, 200 yards for touchdowns for the Mids.
Yeah, that's good, man.
Look, the CFL's on because I swear to God, in the last month or two, I've seen some of the programming they've had on ESPN. Not only have they had esports, esports is blowing up.
Right.
So I don't know if this was on ESPN. It might have been a different channel. I'm flipping through it, and there were guys playing Street Fighter, which is a game from back in the day.
I used to love that game.
So Street Fighter had a whole hour on TV. So I clicked on it. I was like, this is unbelievable. They're showing Street Fighter.
You know what those guys would do to me in Street Fighter? All I do would just randomly hit buttons. They would wipe me out in 3 seconds.
But they actually were showing bags.
Cornhole?
Yes.
What's next?
I couldn't believe it.
Beer pong? Valdez tune in.
This is
so
what...
The show, that was the entire episode? It was like a championship of bags.
I mean, they showed darts.
Was it us? We've gotten used to that.
Darts is on TV.
Was it me and
Valdez
out in front of the Xfinity before Maryland takes on like Purdue?
I couldn't believe it. It's like, this is what it's come down to on ESPN. So CFL is an actual sport.
You think they're not desperate for programming? I mean, there's way too many channels.
I can't even call bags a sport. Any pursuit where you can have a beer in your hand while you're playing and there's barbecue going on in the background. Sorry, it's not a sport.
Did they take a timeout to see if their chicken was ready on the grill?
Right. Look, poker, not a sport, but I am glad they televised
it. Well, let me tell you something.
It's not a sport.
I saw some of the worst poker ever this weekend. You've probably seen it before. Like Poker Live. Poker Night Live. It's on Friday nights. Oh, I think it's on
CBS Sports Network.
CBS Sports Network. Yeah. Okay, so they're 10 years late to the poker party. But that's fine.
Hey, we got a great idea. We're going to televise poker.
But
what?
No, but they're doing it. Here's the hook. They're actually doing it live.
Right.
Okay.
And that couldn't be slower.
Well, and the thing is, are you not seeing
the whole cards?
No, you can see all that.
Oh, okay.
They could do all that. They've got that production down. The problem is they're putting like celebrities on with poker players, and they're D-list celebrities because you can't recognize them. Turns out this one guy wouldn't stop talking. He was so annoying, and it turns out he's from one of the Real Housewives shows, and he wouldn't shut up, and you can't focus on the poker.
Well, he can't be a star. It's about the housewives. He's not a wife.
His last name is Sandoval. I've never heard of him.
Pablo?
It wasn't Pablo.
The panda?
I think his name might be Tom. And I had to Google him.
Vanderpump guy.
It's a Vanderpump. See, JP knows.
JP's the king of bad TV, by the way.
I Google him. I say, who's this guy?
I guarantee Drab loves him.
He was talking about his series and how they were in like 106 countries and all this. And I'm like, you're a reality TV doc.
Right.
What are you? He's not like an actor.
Huh? He's butt famous.
I've never seen him before.
Tom Sandoval.
Wouldn't shut up. But annoying. And then the other people were so nondescript, I couldn't tell if they were poker losers or they were D-list celebrities.
Or Hollywood losers.
That was your big Friday night.
Why? You have big Friday nights?
No, but
I haven't had a big Friday night in 20 years.
Friday night watching the CBS Sports Network.
Well, I think my guess is that was a late night thing. My guess is that was on like at 11. I mean, are you still doing something at 11 on Friday night?
I don't know. I didn't see that episode.
Oh,
I've seen other episodes. And I love watching poker on TV because I'm a loser.
Well, who's doing
it's bad.
Somebody's doing a high stakes poker version that's pretty good.
I can't remember what
NBC
network.
Sports, I think.
They're doing a new one, you know, a newer-ish of high stakes.
Yeah, it's a cash game.
Yeah, well, with the stars that we know.
Yeah, they're doing silly straddles.
And it's awesome.
Phil Ivey played
Night
in it.
Live with the guys from Vanderpump Rules.
The worst dogs
was the
ever.
Worst ever.
By the way, this is why the Caps need to win for us.
Desperately.
Because if the Caps don't win, we have the Nats who are floundering right around 500. Everybody on the team's hurt.
Right.
They can't. The guys who are actually playing, you know, the Bryce Harpers of the world, they're hitting 220. we can't dip into this area right now. We know that we're going to get it in June and July.
Some of the listeners love it when there's a sports drought.
And I get it.
We talk about just anything but sports.
I mean, big news over the weekend, former Junkies producer Adam Wise did win a golf tournament over the weekend.
That was big news. Isn't the tournament still going on? Valdez, golf expert, chime in.
I think it's over.
Oh, it's done now.
I just know that they're still playing at 8:30 at night, and I turned it off.
Adam Wise was the former executive producer of the TV show.
But the guy who won is Aaron Wise.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, right.
Different guy named Wise.
Yeah. Close enough. Wasn't Mike Wise.
No, it wasn't Mike Wise either.
Although I would probably pay money to see Mike Wise play golf. Yeah. I can only imagine.
By the way, I have played a couple more games of Fortnite.
You have?
Yeah, because
my kids
play all the time, so I feel like I should try every once in a while.
Yeah.
I still haven't had a kill. I suck.
I know not to play, because I know I'm
terrible. Have you had one kill?
No. Of course not.
I'm okay at kind of running around and not being killed for a while.
Yeah.
Finishing like top 30, I feel
you
respectable out of 100.
You hide. Well, that's just like a cowardly thing.
Yeah,
to
just
do,
don't run into anybody.
If you're a camper, I mean, what are you doing? If you're just camping and waiting
for
a while, it's
very cowardly.
I got in one little hut or something, and I was like, well, I'll just have my gun and just wait.
No,
but then they can sneak up behind you.
I'd rather not play.
Yeah. I don't know. I was watching my kid play the other
day. It's a phenomenon. It's unbelievable.
Well, it's great. They do it all the time. And I said, you know, I started asking these questions about Fortnite, and he's like, Dad, I'm actually playing Destiny right now. I couldn't even tell the difference. They look the same to me. But Danny, of course, hates Fortnite and everything it represents.
Because it's become so popular?
I think it's that, and it's also because it's social. And my understanding
he
don't
have to be social.
My understanding is Danny likes to just play these games by himself, like in the basement, and you know, no interaction.
It's like I can respect the
world. Yeah, you know, it's the way we grew up.
I respect you being a hermit.
He doesn't like the kids yelling and screaming and cursing.
Well, I don't like that either. I mean,
the part I don't understand, and it's just maybe my personality, is that people will spend money for the dances just so they can taunt somebody after they kill you.
Yeah, right. Well, you're a cheapskate. You can't understand anything like that.
I've actually paid for some of that for my son to play.
Right. Well,
but it just makes no sense, like in the game, like what do you really get out of that?
I don't know.
And then there's actually that pre-part of the game. Have you watched it or paid attention? So before the game actually starts and you get on the balloon or whatever that drops you off, there's like 15 seconds where you can just roam around and do whatever you want. You can just shoot. You can dance. And like people will just sit there like dancing, doing their stupid loser dance.
It's like a free play.
You know you're probably the oldest guy to play Fortnite.
I'm not, actually.
you're definitely in the higher reaches.
Oh, you're in the top 1%.
Yeah,
I played 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I told you, I played one game and got joned on. I got cyberbullied.
All my kids play it. My son's more than my daughter.
Right.
I just prefer, like, if I'm going to watch it, I watch somebody who knows what they're doing. I would rather do that than go in and just get killed in 3 seconds.
I don't enjoy watching it. I don't understand it. So I just let him.
Well, it's kill or be killed. That's simple.
Yeah.
And I guess you can build things.
I don't understand I don't even know what he's doing. I can't even follow it. So I just let him play. I just go downstairs. What am I going to just sit there and watch him play a video game all day? There's no chance.
No, you watch Pablo Sandoval check raise.
Tom Sandoval. Whatever. And then I watch about 10 minutes of that. It was the worst poker production in history.
By the way, I should pull the strings with NBC Sports Washington to see if I can get a free roll in their Heads Up tournament. That would be silly if I could do that.
You think you're going to put you in the big silly with Phil Hellmuth?
No,
and,
I don't think they're going to. But
Mattisau.
It doesn't hurt.
He's always angling.
It doesn't hurt the grass.
If he got his way under that, then I think I might be jealous.
That would be
cool. That would be the first thing I'd be jealous of.
Now, do they play that?
I don't know.
Where do they play it? They probably play it in Vegas.
Playing in Vegas like one of the big sillies.
Yeah.
I need to work on that.
But I mean, it's literally the biggest poker players in the world, and like, you know, like Jerry Buss.
No, but I can
if he was still alive.
EB, I can use my.
And you think Cakes is going
to play? No, listen, Rick, you're missing the point. I can use my D-minus list celebrity status to weasel my way
into
the field.
But it's so low of a status.
I know.
I'm well aware of that. Yeah, it's too low. They're going to put Tom Sandoval in 100 times in 100 over
you. Somebody can dream, but a person can dream, right?
Yeah, I like it. You would literally be the worst person they ever had
in the
tournament.
Absolutely.
Because it's
like... And I would wear that with a badge of honor.
And they would just write Cakes
Yes.
Well, can you imagine the number
of some notoriety?
Can you imagine the number of patches he has on his hat and shirt?
So many. Of course, I have my MGM National Harbor hat. Then I'd have a hoodie, and I'd have stuff up and down each sleeve. Of course, I would.
You have a Thompson Creek on one side.
I'd have a Pacers in a very high profile spot.
Because Kate couldn't say no to anybody.
Yeah, Farish tattooed on right under his eyes.
Right
on his bags.
I would do that.
You know, Drab's moving next week.
Right.
Buying a home. Is moving away from, you know, Valdez and Drab were basically neighbors. Apparently, Drab is pawning off his sofa to Valdez. Valdez is butt size.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Although he's giving him
the silly
deadline.
Sectional.
He just said, if you don't pick it up by Wednesday, it's going to be on the curb on Thursday.
Although I asked him this morning when we were talking about the sofa, I looked in his eye and I said, be honest. Did you hook it on the sofa?
Right. Oh, hook the answer is yes.
With his wife
course.
Or solo?
No, either.
I think solo.
Yeah. So of course, solo. Yeah.
I actually don't think I ever hooked it solo on that couch.
Were you normally a bedroom
guy? Not my sweet spot.
Where's your sweet spot? The bedroom?
Bedroom, yeah.
Really? Was that why? Because no windows or anything? Like,
no one can come through the front door.
I can hear the stairs creaking.
Warning. You get away. Yeah. Warning sign. Because you like to do it while your wife is downstairs. See, that's what's so funny about you.
That is devious. Right.
You're devious that way. Like, your wife is downstairs just minding her own business, and you go upstairs and sneak one.
He's probably got his house ready like the Home Alone house.
How often do you do
that? He's got tripwire.
Yeah.
I mean,
his wife goes up the stairs, the paint can swings, almost hits her in the head.
Now, listen.
Plus,
we
have the history issue. He's always, remember? Like, he's left. Left the screen.
Well, that's just sloppy. That's just right. And sloppy.
Right. Well, hold on. So, your wife has a. Does she have regular hours, like with her job, or she worked during the day?
Works during the day. Nine to five most time.
So I would think you knock most of that out during the day.
Sometimes before a nap.
Right. But sometimes.
Most
you mean
of
like
time.
Every day?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Weekdays.
Yeah. Right.
Days that end in Y.
Right. Okay. Naps.
Right.
Like there's 3 hour naps.
So then, when are you sneaking upstairs? I find this hysterical.
Sometimes before bed.
Sometimes before bed, like to help
she's
you go
still
to sleep.
Up.
Maybe the Caps are playing. Maybe you've had too many Mountain Dews.
Hopefully, it's during intermission. You're missing.
No, this is right before lights out.
Okay. And then how do you know that she's not going to hurry up there? That's why hence the creaking steps.
Yeah.
How many times has that happened? Were you
That I've been busted?
Well, not that you've been busted, but that you have to stop because you hear the steps creaking.
Or have you trained Oakley to bark like three
times?
All the time? You must be so frustrated.
I'm the quickest minimizer on the planet.
Really?
Yeah.
You can shrink that screen?
Yeah.
Or do you minimize it or do you X out? Do you hope that she's then going to
minimize it because it's usually just a false alarm. And
and then you can get back to business?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you got to restart.
That's pretty ballsy. I think that's pretty ballsy. I think most guys, they don't really have the courage to do that.
It might be a thrill for him, you know?
You know what? Maybe that is.
Just living on the edge?
You know what, though? I'm distraught.
I think you're on to something.
The new house is carpeted on the stairs.
Really? Maybe want to rip those out.
Well, we all know hardwood is way better than carpet anyway.
Oh, of course.
It just pummels it.
Maybe you need to set up some sort of like nanny cam or something so you can know who's coming up the stairs.
Man, like, giveaway.
You know? Like just like some one of those little pinhole things. Like she wouldn't even know.
Holy
but just like
shit.
You know.
Yeah.
And it's just there so you don't get busted.
It's not a bad idea.
Right?
Yes, but I'm giving him my couch.
If Valdez, is that a thing for you?
What?
You don't try to sneak it in.
No.
But do you have an upstairs in yours? Or
no.
I feel like yours is on the same
floor. It's all one level.
Yeah, it'd be harder for you to pull that off.
Right.
Right? I mean, she could be passed out on the couch or something, and then you could go sneak in and knock one out.
Yeah, or like she's sleeping in the bedroom or something like
and
that.
And then you go sneak out on the couch.
Or she's wearing like really loud shoes. Hey, Laura, here are some tap shoes. You need to wear these around the house at all times.
We'll have to give our wives clogs so we can hear them walk.
That's hilarious.
By the way, Valdez earlier said, everybody knows Valdez loves crabs.
Yes, loves
right.
them.
He said that there's never one time when he visits his parents that his mom doesn't have crab dip
of
ready.
Of course.
You're kidding.
He brought never his, one was, time.
He brought leftover
brought,
crab dip.
I brought leftover
breakfast.
Crab dip.
Is that what I saw Drabby dipping his dirty fingers into that.
Ridiculously good.
And I was like, what
well,
is he
it
doing?
Is.
I thought he was eating your nubby tuna fish that you bring in here all the time.
No, it wasn't tuna. It was crab dip.
Yeah.
So I went over to my parents' house for my brother's baby shower.
So hold on. So if you tell your mom, like if she knows you're going to show up.
If there is any chance me and my brother are going to be over the house for anything.
She makes sure she has crab dip
ready. Yes, there will be crab dip available.
Mom, we have to go down to the wharf to get some crabs.
To say 100% is unbelievable. Like, generally speaking, when I visit my mom, and most of the time it's with the kids and the whole family, she does have brownies ready.
Right.
But there are some times when she doesn't.
Right.
And there's sometimes when she might mix it up with the cake.
Yeah, but you're off. I feel like your mom's way more than he said.
Their crab hustle is 100%.
Maybe so.
They don't sleep on the crabs.
I don't know. How often do you visit the folks?
Maybe
in Pasadena.
Maybe once a month, once every two months.
It's a little less frequent.
It's not that frequent.
But still, 100%.
Hey, you know
always,
what?
Always. Although,
where do they get him?
What?
Where do they get him?
It's homemade, right?
Yeah, it's homemade. I mean, you just buy the crab meat.
Right. Well, so she's just buying it in the tub.
Yeah, you buy the jumbo
lump. It's really
lump.
Expensive.
I know. She loves her children.
Yeah, she does.
Although she could have done a better job picking out.
$20 a pound, I think.
Yeah, she could have done a better job picking out the shells this time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You got too many shells.
So many shells.
It's almost Memorial Day. That means it must be time to open the above grounder at your parents' house.
I saw that thing over the weekend. It looks like it's ready to collapse.
Oh, really?
Really? Can you take a picture of it, a current picture? Do you have like a deck surrounding it so it kind of covers up, makes it seem like a faux in-ground?
Yes.
That's a pretty good way to do it. If you were going to go above ground, if you have an above ground and you just have the thing above ground, that's
like
just so nice.
Like out in the middle of the yard.
But if at least you have a deck built around it, it looks kind of built in, that's somewhat passable. Although, what is it about? What's the greatest above ground pool? Like 5 feet deep? Like if you dive in, you paralyze
yourself. Yeah, our deep end is about 5.5 feet.
You definitely can't dive into it.
Oh, you definitely can't.
You might break your neck.
Like, you know, you dive in and out. Like you're doing like a swimming race.
Well, you're not supposed to dive into 5 feet of water.
No, you can't.
You definitely snap your neck like a toothpick.
You're just skimming.
We all grew up with friends who had a pool in their backyard. We used to play basketball there. It was 6 feet. Deep end. You used to dive into the thing all the time.
You just dive out.
Right.
You don't dive down. If you dive down,
it's not like you're diving from a high point.
You deserve your fate.
I'm still in form when I dive, so I need to go straight.
I'm sure your jump is that high.
It's amazing.
Come on, Chase. I don't even know why we have a pool, because we would always just go swim in the river, too.
No. That is gross.
Hillbillies.
You think swimming above ground is gross?
We would actually, use the pool to wash off from swimming in the river.
All right, you pull it.
And you wonder you have vitiligo.
Yeah, right. No wonder you got spots on your
washing
penis.
Washing off with the pool.
So do your parents, like, do they get sized at pool parties?
Oh, growing up, we used to have pool parties all the time.
Yeah, but what
in
about
the
now with the old?
Yeah, those have died down.
No,
yeah, with the hurting deck and everything.
They barely use it now.
Do you think your parents have ever been out there and had a little fun in the pool?
No. That's a good question.
That's 100%. It's 100%.
But it's just the pool. It's not like a hot tub. A hot tub has more of the lure.
No, but like back in the day, 100%.
Well, now they're retired. They don't have any kids around. They can do it all the time.
Maybe. Not retired yet. End of June.
Okay, that's true.
That pool needs a wrecking ball or a pin.
My parents, because they usually open it up around Memorial Day every season, but they got to get it drained because of all the rain last week. And my parents, by the way, they fill it up with a hose. They don't get a pool company. They just let a hose run.
Then they treat it.
Honestly, the hose has to be on for 24 hours.
Yeah, it runs like a day.
Yeah, but expensive.
It's cheaper than
the pool company
to fill it up.
I have friends that have a pool, and they said that now they do. They have it's like a saltwater pool. That's the new thing now, right? Because it's less chemicals and all that.
Well, if you want a saltwater pool, go swim in the bay.
It rubs the lotion on the
right,
skin,
but I think people like their home
the hose
pools.
Again.
It's cheaper to maintain and all that, right?
Maybe.
Do they do that with above ground pools or no?
I don't know. I wouldn't think so, because above ground pools
that's
have
like polishing a turd. You know what I mean? You know,
well, no. Above ground pools have lining in them,
right?
So my guess is the salt would.
Yeah, right.
Kinda. Can we quit with the above ground pools versus below ground pools?
Well, I mean,
just call it the Nubs pool.
He grew up around above ground pools.
My dad won't be home until 11 today, so we can't get a picture of him.
Oh.
Of the pool.
Why, because your mom can't do it?
My mom's not there right now.
Oh,
how many trees are close by that just pepper the pool with leaves?
We used to have one, and then we cut it down.
Oh, okay.
And then the sticks would get in the pool and the skimmer and everything. And then you have to fish it out with the net.
How big is it? Is it as big as your studio?
It actually looks bigger. Like a big size.
It's a bit. It's
I've
a pretty big size. Well, I would think the cost of building a deck around and above, you might as well just do a silly in-ground, right? The cost would be pretty expensive.
I mean, I don't know the cost difference between an above-ground and an in-ground pool.
Well, I'm assuming...
I'm guessing it's substantial.
I'm assuming... Well,
I agree.
The above-ground pool is probably like $100. That's like nothing. But I'm saying building the deck around it, that's an expensive proposition.
Yeah.
So why not just build a silly in-ground?
Because they got the in-ground, I mean, they get the above-ground pool probably first.
Then they add a deck later.
No, it's probably like a kit where it's an all-in-one thing.
Oh, it's probably a nubby kit.
I mean, there's a lot of expense involved.
It's a rickety deck.
If they do an in-ground pool, then they have to build a real fence around it. Can't just have
the thing I don't understand, honestly, is when you live around here, you have a pool. It's a nice luxury.
We have a real fence. We only have... Only half of our yard's covered in chain link.
So you have a half and half.
Yeah, I built the fence with my dad growing up.
Why didn't you get rid of the chain link?
Probably because we didn't want to build the rest already, of it.
Yeah.
And it was already there.
It was already there, and you didn't care that it looked nubby.
Probably not.
Yeah.
And we probably have to talk about it with the neighbors and everything.
The thing I don't understand about having a pool around here is that it's like warm for like 2 months. It's just, you know what I mean?
We had a lot of fun with the pool growing up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, people
I had
it.
Fun with the sprinkler. I mean, you know.
We would have epic birthday parties where we'd get crabs and we would go jump in the pool and clean off.
Maryland's for crabs. He lived it.
Right.
He lived it.
I'm jealous. I didn't have a pool growing up. I had to go to the neighborhood pool. Although we had a great time at the neighborhood pool.
Absolutely.
You had to climb the tennis ladder.
Yeah, my pool now, we have this nice little pool. They don't have a snack bar. It kills me.
Oh, a pool without a snack bar? You can't call that a pool.
No. They have...
Mine doesn't have one either.
They have their own grills because everyone's all like granola-y and they don't want to sell like junk food to the kids.
Oh,
so meanwhile, when I go to the pool, all I want is like a grilled cheese. I just want like junk food.
And like now and laters.
Yeah.
Something to rot your
teeth.
You
mean like some gummy worms and like an orange creamsicle?
Perfect.
That's what you get when you're at the pool.
Yeah, a slice of bad pizza.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Hot dog. Maybe some nachos. Maybe, God, what are those things? Those little, not Slurpees. The
Slush puppies?
Slush puppy. Give me a silly slush puppy at the pool.
Knock
French
off
fries. Yeah, no, all we have is a grill. You got to bring your own food.
That's our thing.
It is our thing.
If you don't have a snack bar at your pool, you go to a low-rent pool.
I don't think it's
not
uncommon.
It's not low-rent. It's just...
It's just a sign of the times?
They think they're too fancy for it.
Ah,
it's the opposite of that.
I think it is a little bit of a sign of the times.
It's the opposite of that, yeah.
We grew up with a snack bar and a couple of arcade games.
You know, the games of Miss Pac-Man I played while I was eating a bad slice of pizza.
In
so
school,
many.
Do kids even get chocolate milk? Or are they kind of allowed to not even get? Are they not even allowed to get that anymore? I used to love chocolate milk.
I don't even think I knew other sort of milk existed in elementary school outside of chocolate milk.
Right.
Nowadays, they can get soda, and like a lot of times there's soda machines.
Yeah, but aren't they cutting down on that?
One would hope.
One would hope. That's horrible. You want to have the right to get a soda.
Pass the sugar.
Yeah.
Give me a Mountain Dew in the middle of the day.
You have the right to have silly chocolate milk. If it weren't for chocolate milk, I would have had no milk.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Didn't you have cereal every day?
Other than that.
I had cereal
that
this morning.
Count.
Why wasn't I pouring chocolate milk on it instead of regular milk?
We should have done that.
That's a bad move by me.
They should have done that.
I should have done it.
All right, when we come back, we're running out of time. Let's get to the entertainment page. I won't bore you too much with royal wedding stuff, but we got, what do I have? Oh, shocker, Kardashian news, the Bruce Jenner or Caitlyn Jenner news. What I'm trying to get, is there anything here that's going to intrigue you? Let me see here.
I can give you my Deadpool 2 review.
Oh, you know what?
Saw that over the weekend.
We can do that, and... There's a crazy story about the lava and the volcano.
Yeah.
I had no idea how dangerous that stuff is. I mean, it was hot.
Bulletin, lava, dangerous.
No, I knew it was hot.
Yeah.
I didn't know that they say some chunks of it weigh like a refrigerator.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.